So one of the growing challenges in sports is losing players who quit the team or transfer to another team or club. You see this at the collegiate level with the transfer portal, in particular at the Division I level. And at the Division III level, you see a lot of players quitting at a higher rate in the past for a variety of reasons. At the high school and youth level, you're seeing individuals transfer clubs or teams for a host of reasons. Sometimes it's for more exposure, more opportunity, or even now for more money with the NIL money coming in. Other times players are quitting the team because they're just choosing to specialize in one sport. So they're just becoming that, you know, single sport athlete, or they want to play just at their with the club team and they don't want to play for their school team anymore. And obviously you're seeing large numbers of players quit as well because they're unhappy with playing time or their role on the team. Now, not all players quitting or transferring is a negative. Sometimes it's actually better for our culture. Other times we've got plenty of numbers, right? So, and these individuals aren't that talented, so it doesn't really affect us that much or the team. But today's conversation, Nate and I are going to talk about when an athlete quits or transfers from our team, an athlete that we want to be a part of the program because of their leadership, their character, or even their talent. Or maybe, you know, it's simply an athlete that leaves our team that we want to be a part of the team because we care about them and we enjoy having them on the team. Either way, when these players quit or they transfer, it affects us and it affects the team. We're going to unpack today what those effects are, as well as we're going to talk about how we can personally respond to what feels like rejection and how we can help our team respond in a positive way, as well as how we can respond to that individual who leaves. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm your host, JP Nurbin, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Nate Sanderson. The mission of this podcast is to help you become a better leader and build a better culture. In addition to this podcast, I'm the founder of TOC, which provides one-on-one coaching and consulting for leaders. Learn more about us at tocculture.com. This episode is brought to you by the TOC newsletter. Every Thursday, our newsletter includes two things you don't want to miss out on. Firstly, the notes to that week's podcast episode. Whether you're listening while driving the car, out for a run, or doing the dishes, we don't want you to miss the biggest takeaways from each episode. Secondly, each newsletter is a short article from myself or Nate on leadership and culture. These articles are designed to inspire, encourage, and provide practical insights into leadership and culture building. Our content is a perfect fit for anyone who wants to stay up to date with the latest trends and insights in culture building. You can subscribe to the newsletter at tocculture.com or by clicking on the link in the details of each episode.
Well, JP, you and I have had conversations in the past on how to handle players that are thinking about quitting. We've done a conversation on how to think about quitting ourselves as coaches when we get to that point, wondering if we should continue in what we're doing. But what we're going to talk about this week is taking a little different angle on the issue of attrition. As you teased in the opener, all of us as coaches are going through this, I think, more and more in the last 5 to 10 years than when I started coach 20 years ago, in that there's just more player movement. And that movement can be from one school to another, one program to another. It can be from your sport to specializing in another sport. And regardless of the reason or the destination that a player ends up, it can be difficult to navigate kind of the feeling of rejection as a coach. And I think we can tend to feel that most acutely when we're talking about players that we really want to retain. I mean, we're not necessarily talking about the knuckleheads that cause problems in practice and are a handful. And, you know, those guys should be going and finding something else to do. And that's great for them and great for us. But we're talking about, you know, the junior that's been with you in your program and her senior year decides to do something else or that she doesn't want to finish her career, you know, and you lose all of that institutional knowledge. You lose the leadership. You lose the great example in practice, you know, with a player that has lived the values for 3 years. Like, that can be really difficult to handle as a coach. And sometimes it's not just losing a great character or a great leader. It's losing a great player that's been enticed to go somewhere else or that's decided that they want a different opportunity to finish their career, you know, potentially as a senior. And so there's all kinds of cascading effects when we have players that we've invested in for years and they choose to do something else. And I think as much as we oftentimes try to put on a brave face, it can be difficult to get over that, especially as it now is starting to happen more and more frequently in the sports world.
Yeah, Nate, I know you recently got a player that communicated they wouldn't be returning for their senior season this year. And, you know, one of my first things that I always try to affirm coaches and, you know, yourself or other coaches in there is this is just so common. Like, it's not a surprise to me that you have individuals not return their senior year, because as I look at my list of coaches up on the wall that I'm having conversations with weekly, this is a reality probably for almost every one of them this year, whether at the college level, a player transferring out, or at the high school level, a player transferring, or a player deciding they're not going to come out the next year because they're going to specialize or because they don't think they're going to get much playing time. It's just, this is a common challenge, but that doesn't mean it's not painful. And I guess I'm curious in your perspective as a transformational coach, outside of the fact that you want to have high, you know, numbers in your program so you can be competitive, and the fact that you don't want to lose talented players, you know, what is so difficult about losing a player for you?
Well, I think, JP, there's a lot of layers, you know, to it when a player decides to leave or not to stay out, or, you know, chooses a different program, and that affects your depth chart and your roster size and maybe your ability to be competitive. But, you know, I think even below all of that, as you mentioned, with a transformational approach here, is that, you know, for me, when we talk about our purpose, let's say at a, you know, at a clinic, or we talk about it with our, in our parent meeting, and we identify, you know, we say, what's our purpose? Our objective is to win games. What's our purpose? Well, we want kids in their 4-year experience to know that they're loved, to know that their value comes from something, you know, beyond what they do with the ball, and that they were uniquely created to make a difference in this world. But even before we describe that purpose is that phrase, in their 4 years with us. You know, and it's almost like we expect this 4-year life cycle where they're going to come in with not a lot of experience, and they're going to get used to the game, and they're going to be nurtured, and they're going to be brought along by their upperclassmen, and then eventually they will learn, you know, a little bit about our culture and how we want to treat each other and start to pick up on our values. And then by the time they're juniors and seniors, you're hoping that they're living those things as a model and as an example for others, but also that it's having an impact on them, you know. And then when they're sent out, so to speak, from your program, that they're equipped to be better people in the real world, you know. And so whenever somebody chooses not to finish, that it just feels disappointing, because the mission is to get them through and to send them out.
And I think what's really impactful that you shared there is, I mean, obviously as a coach, we've done all these things to develop this athlete, this player, so that kind of near the end of their career, they're a phenomenal player. They're contributing to the team, right? But what you're talking about there is this development as a person. And there's this journey over there, you know, the 4 years that you envision having them, you know, and there's a kind of this arc of transformation, right? And every, obviously every individual has a different arc or a different story, but even like, I look at your program, you have so many things you do, especially that senior year, that kind of rite of passage, that ritual. You know, Joe Ehrman talks about that in his book, Inside Out Coaching, that the power of that final year, you know, from having players do their last lecture to just all the other rituals that we do. So for you as a coach, you know, for so many other coaches out there, I mean, this is the big moment, right? This is what you've built towards. And it almost seems taken, you know, it seems you've lost that opportunity to maybe tie things up in a really profound way with that athlete. I guess another question I'd have for you just is from your perspective, when you look at the team, you know, what's the impact on the team and the team culture that you're trying to create when you lose a player like that as well, too, not just on you necessarily as a coach?
Well, I think you can never underestimate the value of institutional knowledge. You know, especially in our case, where if you think about our upperclassmen, and, you know, they were 1-20 the year before I got there. Culture was a bit of a mess. You know, not a lot of kids were going out, staying out, what have you. And we really turned things around on a lot of different levels. And so the players that have been part of that, you know, bring a unique appreciation and perspective to the change, number one. Number two, particularly when it's players that have been bought in, you know, and that have really tried to live the values and set a great example and play the right way and do things the right way, conduct themselves in the right way in our practices and that sort of thing. You, it just can't again, you can't underestimate the importance of having that example and that influence and that maturity. I mean, that's just another issue of, you know, if you're looking at, okay, I lose a senior or I lose a junior and the replacement is a freshman or a sophomore who hasn't been on varsity before. Don't know how we practice. Don't know how we watch film. They don't know how we pregame prep. They don't know any of those things. Again, they're going to have to learn at some point. But when you think about the deficit of experience that happens when you lose upperclassmen like that, it's not necessarily crippling for a program or for a team. But when I think about it, again, from my perspective as a head coach, I delegate a lot to our captains. I lean a lot on our seniors, you know, to lead groups or to demonstrate drills or to organize, you know, things outside of the, you know, the team or what have you. And you just lose, it's almost in some ways like losing a capable assistant coach that you had on the floor when you lose someone with that kind of experience that you've invested in that understands the mission, the purpose, and how we do what we do. And if I was being honest, JP, I think there's part of me that just wonders, what effect does that have on everyone else in the locker room? I mean, I think back to an experience my second year at Linmar where we had one kid that announced her retirement. She was a senior. She went through the first week of practice, just couldn't keep doing it. Called a team meeting. She said goodbye to everybody. Everybody was sad. An hour later, I get another text message from a junior. I got to go too. 2 days later, I get another message from a junior. Yeah, I think I'm done too. You know, and so you just, there's a bit of a contagion there that sometimes I'm afraid, is this going to spread, you know, when it starts?
Well, I think it's just like in the case of ourselves, but first off, we, you know, within ourselves as coaches, you know, what's the story that we're telling ourselves in those moments? Oftentimes it's that I did something wrong. There's something wrong with our program, right? We go quickly. We make assumptions that are very negative, right? And that oftentimes it's not the real story. Well, our players are going to do the same thing, right? They've spent years potentially with this teammate, working out every day, you know, seem to maybe share similar goals as far as what they wanted to achieve together, and they lose a teammate, all of a sudden they can go really negative too within their story. There's something wrong with the team. There's something wrong with me as a teammate. So they can go to that place, as well as it potentially changes the standard around the program, which is, hey, what used to be like really taboo, like quitting the team, all of a sudden, like in your case, there was like, oh, we can quit, you know, when things get hard, or we can quit when things aren't going well, or we can quit when we're kind of struggling, which, you know, obviously there's situations where players should quit and it's healthy for them to quit and it's what they need to do. But what we're seeing probably more often than not is players quitting because things get tough, things get challenging, they're not getting what they want, you know, and they don't have these legitimate reasons for quitting. And so it kind of creates this new cultural norm or standard because one player has done that. And so that's obviously a legitimate fear in your case.
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head there, JP, at the beginning of your statement there, where we wonder, was it something I said? Was it something that I did? Was it something that, you know, I could have done differently that would have allowed this person to have a better experience or look forward to finishing their career, whatever it might be? And interestingly enough, I was having a conversation here just a couple weeks ago with one of our seniors from last year that's graduated and gone off to college here this fall. And we were talking a little bit about just, you know, kids leaving sport in general. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you think there's anything that we could do or can be doing differently, you know, in a couple of these situations? And she just sort of looked at me and said, no, I don't think so. I think it just comes down to, you know, what they want or what they're looking for, how they want to spend their time. It isn't necessarily an indictment of what we're doing. But number one, it feels like it, right? And number two, if there's nothing that I did necessarily that caused the situation, a player to leave, player to retire, then I feel really helpless, you know, because I'm not sure what to do to try to remedy the problem going forward. If we can't figure out what a cause was that was out of control, at the end of the day, we just may not have control, you know, in a lot of these situations. And that can also be really frustrating as a coach.
Yeah, I think probably one of the dangerous things we could do would be to try to find one reason as the sole reason that we're seeing all these players quit today. I mean, the whole system is starting to become designed to encourage this type of things, from the money that's in sports to scholarships to specialization to just the way the parenting styles today. The amounts that we're expecting out of athletes, right, out of season now across all sports, right? The me first culture. I mean, all these things that we've talked about so often on this podcast, right? You know, there's a lot of different reasons that players are quitting. There's a lot of different reasons that players are transferring. It's not just one thing. And so for us, it comes down to what can we do moving forward? And I think there's maybe three things that we should look at here, Nate. First is our own personal response, because obviously losing a player, like you said, it's like rejection. You just got dumped by your girlfriend, potentially. Like, it feels like that sometimes. There's the second is our response with our team, right? How do we help them through that rejection? And last, I think there's also that response with the individual, the player that quits, right? I think it's really important. How do we handle that moment when the player quits or player transfers? And we've got some amazing stories that of coaches that I've worked with and how they've handled that, that I'm going to share in our conversation here. But let's first start with that place of just that personal response. You know, what are some ways that coaches should be responding to that rejection themselves?
Well, in a lot of ways, JP, that's the question that's really prompted this episode here, is because I don't think that I have a good handle on, you know, how to respond in situations like that, just internally. You know, my default is to go out and sit on my lawnmower for 7 hours and do some laps and just think back through every interaction that I can, you know, every decision that we've made with that player. How did we communicate, you know, about her playing time? Did we give her enough time in the summer? Was it something that I said? How did her one-on-ones go? Were there, you know, was there something I should have been aware of, but I wasn't? Was there something that I ignored and I should have given greater attention to? I talked to the assistant coaches, you know, I'll ask the captains in very generalities, you know, did they hear anything more than what I heard when that player broke up with us? And all of that really is, again, focused on fault finding within myself, both one, to understand the situation a little bit better, but then two, to hopefully, you know, find something that's correctable or something we can grow from or something we can learn from so that it doesn't happen again for a similar reason with another player down the road. Beyond that, JP, I am all ears in terms of how we ought to respond to something like that.
I think the first thing we probably want to look at is our thinking. And I guess I'm curious, I'm going to throw another question back to you, which is, what if you knew there was nothing that you or another coach could have done that would have kept that player to stay in your program? How might that change your thinking?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. And I think back to last year when we lost, you know, four or five kids the very first week of practice. And I remember talking with one of our captains at the end of that week. And she said to me, she said, "Coach, I don't think it's because of you. I don't think it's anything that you're doing or that you've done that's, you know, causing kids to want to do something else. I think they just have other things they want to do with their time." And in a way, there's a relief that comes from that. You know, there is a little bit of, you know, maybe it isn't me necessarily. But at the same time, as I said before, that is followed up with kind of a feeling of hopelessness. Like, are we just at the whim, you know, of the wants and desires of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and what they want on a particular day or a particular time? And that, you know, in some ways is a little freeing, but it's a little more terrifying because it just feels like I don't know if there's anything we can do. And so is this just going to continue no matter what? And maybe it is, and maybe I have to accept that, but it's a bit of a two-edged sword there, I think.
This episode is brought to you by my latest book, The Culture System, A Proven Process for Creating an Extraordinary Team Culture. It's been endorsed by many exceptional leaders and coaches, one of those being 2022 MBA Coach of the Year, Monty Williams, who called it a special book with inspiring stories, applicable strategies, and a proven model for developing team culture. This book is more than just a collection of practical tools for leaders. It teaches a proven framework that some of the world's best organizations and teams use. It's packed with real-life examples and case studies that show you how these ideas can be implemented in any context. Whether you're a coach, manager, or leader, you'll find invaluable insights to help you build the culture you want. Don't miss out on this opportunity to transform your team. Visit myculturesystem.com to learn more about the book, or you can get your copy on Amazon or Audible today. Yeah, and what you're kind of talking about there is somewhat of dropping our expectations a little bit. You know, I think it's trying to reimagine what the arc of an athlete might be through our program. We might end up being even more grateful now for those players that go through 4 years and it becomes even more significant to pass them on. You know, so much of everything is everyone's context. You know, and I'm sure some coaches are listening to this. They're like, oh my gosh, I have too many people that are trying out, you know, all these things, you know, but they don't live in fairly rural Iowa, you know, like it's just everyone's context is different. So it's just really hard to figure out what can you do. And I think, you know, there's probably no real advice that I could give specifically on how to actually fix the problem. But I would say there's a few things to look at. One is just to the current story that you might be telling yourself as the coach, the first story you tell yourself as a coach is probably going to be somewhere along the lines of they're transferring because of me, right? Because of something I did or something I said. That's the story you're going to tell. And I would encourage you to tell a different story and then tell another story. Just what's another possibility? What else could have happened here? And just to be able to explore all those possibilities. I think also what you did just there of just asking players, hey, what more could I have done? Asking the player that potentially transfers or quits and just be like, hey, really disappointed to hear that. What more could we have done to make this program someplace that you decided to stay for 4 years? So that would be the first thing. I think the second thing comes down to just really where you kind of landed, which is this place of what can I do? Right? What can I do? And I think the hardest thing for us as coaches at times is to recognize the fact that we don't actually have as much control over the most important things to us. You know, we have so much limited control. There's so many things in the system that are working against us and trying to create this program, this culture that we want to create. And so it just comes back to this question that I love and I probably start asking myself every day now is just what can I do to create the conditions for good things to happen? What can I do to create the conditions for good things to happen? And when you ask yourself that question, Nate, or you ask, you know, your staff, like, I mean, you guys are going to have a lot of things that you guys are working to do. And outside of that, it's everything else is outside of your control. And sometimes things take time. They take, you know, a few special individuals to come across and all of a sudden you have a movement sparked and, you know, you get a bunch of players in your program. It's sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes it, you know, we're not so fortunate. But we like to believe that we have way more control than we actually do as coaches. And so that's one question that kind of helps us to like let go of control over the things that we don't have control over, while also just focusing on maybe creating that environment that's going to, you know, bring about the possibilities for more good things to happen.
Yeah, JP, I think that's a healthy perspective to take on situations like that. And I think you could apply that to a lot of different things as well. But, you know, in a sense, we're just preparing the ground for seeds to take root. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But we can't make a seed grow. We can't make a seed germinate, right? And I think that in some ways, when we focus on that process of can we just create an environment for good things to happen, inherent in that statement is, and then let go of the rest, you know, or let go of what actually happens. I think that's the magical place, but also the challenging place to try to get to in situations like this.
Yeah, I think the next thing we should probably focus on is that response with the individual. And I'd be curious what type of things that you've done with certain individuals that have quit over the years. I know that one coach I work with in particular, he has quite a few transfers out of his program. They're just really, really talented individuals and they get a lot of offers to go play at the prep school level, right? And they're constantly being pulled out there and there's obviously a lot of money being thrown at certain athletes in the basketball and college football in particular with this NIL money that it's oftentimes it's a financial decision for the family, right? We got to put ourselves in this situation for good things to happen when it comes to us making some money. When my kid goes and plays college basketball or college football, right? Like this is their mindset. What's impressed me about this coach and what impresses me about coaches is when a player does transfer, that they don't take to social media to blast all the kids that are transferring out today, but instead they pick up the phone, they call that individual, they call the kid's parents, and they say, thank you for allowing me to coach you. Thank you for allowing me to coach your son, or thank you for allowing me to coach your daughter. And they just express gratitude for the time they did get to work with that individual. And just simply doing that, I think, honestly, you're not doing it because of this, but it's going to encourage more people to come to your program, want to stay in your program. But if you become this person that becomes really, really bitter every time somebody leaves your program and, you know, take to social media and blast that individual, like it's not going to create a great environment around your team. It's not going to really attract people to you. It's probably not the type of leader or person that you want to be. And so I think, you know, one of the most important things is we respond with grace. Whether we agree with their reasons, I think we can always understand that people are always doing the best they can with the information that they have. And yeah, they might be making the wrong decision, but for them, they think it's the right decision. And we just have to respect that.
Yeah. And I think therein lies the challenge of, can we live those values that we espouse, you know, that we build our program on, even for those that reject participation in that culture? In other words, love is important to us, right? And so even if a player decides not to finish their career, I'm going to see that kid in the hallway periodically. I'm going to be at some of their games for other sports. Does the fact that they chose not to continue in basketball mean that they don't deserve to be encouraged or greeted, or that I'm still not interested in what's going on in their life and that sort of thing? And that's a grace that I've always tried to extend to those players that have left, is that I still have an interest in you as a human being. And again, it's not going to be at the same level as somebody you're seeing every day in practice, but that they wouldn't get a hint of, well, coach never talks to me again or doesn't look at me again, or, you know, anything like that, because obviously that can happen, you know, after a player chooses to leave or to specialize or not to continue, especially if they stay in your building. And I remember another example, again, at Linmar, one of those players that quit kind of after the first week there was a senior. She was a captain, but for whatever reason, basketball was just stressful for her. And, you know, over the 2 years that I got to coach her, she was a great kid, great model, great teammate. And so, you know, when she said goodbye to her teammates that night, I just sent an email to her parents. And I just, like you said, thanked them for the opportunity to have her in our program. And here's the things that we really appreciated from her over the last 2 years. And, you know, expressed a little bit of disappointment that she decided to retire early. But we're always going to be a fan of hers, and we always want the best for her. And, you know, just appreciated again the opportunity to be her coach. And both parents sent back an email. It was really kind. And I think that part of it, and just thinking about what would the values that we espouse as a program look like in this situation, is a great guide for how we should respond when these situations happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because at the end of the day, that's, you know, when it comes to actually living out our values, these are the moments that it really matters, right? These are the moments that people take note of. I think the other aspect that we got to consider when it comes to our response to a player quitting or transferring is, what is our response to the team? How do we help this team change the narrative? Probably the coolest thing that I've seen this summer around this is Coach Darren Douglas down in Georgia, and he created a video with him and his team when one of their players transferred to a prep school. Players highly talented, maybe a future NBA player, right? But had a lot of reasons for making this transfer. And the video was just them talking to this player, letting them know how much they appreciated their favorite memories and what they were, you know, how they will miss him, but wishing him well. And watching the video, I actually got kind of emotional, right? Because there was just some really, really powerful stories of example and a connection. But here, I think the video obviously is probably really positive for that individual receiving it, but it's also helping the coach and the athletes to reframe their perspective of, this isn't just all about us, right? It's about, hey, this person has to make choices that what they believe to be in their best interest. And just, we're grateful for the time that we got to have with this individual and for all the games that he helped us win in the last few years. So I thought it was kind of a cool exercise and just kind of gratitude and appreciation and affirmation. And I have no doubt that that will help to build their culture, you know, and they will grow through this conflict or through this adversity or a setback.
There's a little bit of reading the room in situations like that too, because in some cases, you know, the team is well aware perhaps of a player, if they were disgruntled or frustration, you know, with their playing time, or, you know, there was something under the surface and it almost feels like a relief that that person is gone. We're probably not going to call a team meeting and say, oh, thank goodness they're gone, you know, or doesn't it feel great now to be us when we're all on the same page, or, you know, like, we're not going to reinforce that situation. But I remember, again, that situation at Linmar when we lost 3 varsity players in 4 days. And after the last one left, it was right before we were to take team pictures. And so we went and we took the team pictures. And before we started practice, I just said, hey, let's go down to my office, you know, just for a minute and get organized. And so we've got the 11 girls that are left. My office is about as big as a janitor's closet, sitting on the floor, almost knee to knee, you know, in this oval. And I'm sitting on the floor with them, with my kids. And I just said, you know, it's hard when people leave, especially when there are teammates that we've enjoyed, or, you know, that we're going to be a big part of what we were going to do this year. So what are we feeling? You know, we got to go to practice and figure out how to a way to get better tonight. But what are we feeling? You know, and just kind of articulate their, they felt in some ways the same that I did, you know, that felt like let them down a little bit. Or did we not offer enough, or did we not feel like they were valued enough? We not enough for them to want to stay. And that was really healthy for us just to be able to verbalize it. Like, it wasn't that we really did anything other than, you know, I think that's it. And now this is who's left. And, you know, we're going to go forward with this group or whatever. But there are times where it just needs a, everybody needs a little bit of a therapy session there, you know, particularly when it's somebody that was a great teammate that people will miss.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely critical, is that you give them space to articulate, whether it's a one-on-ones or a whole team discussion around the frustrations or how they're feeling through that rejection or what feels like a rejection of the team. I think also the next question is, well, what do we want to do? How do we want to respond to this? And I think there's a question sometimes too, by asking the team, you know, it might start to help inform some of your decisions. I'm not sure that he asked this question, but I remember speaking to Dave Brandt, who was the former coach at Messiah College. Now he's at Bucknell. And I was talking with Coach Brandt a few months ago, and we were just kind of talking about his first year at Bucknell. And he had some recruits that he really believed in. There were some phenomenal players, great athletes, but they were great culture guys as well, too. Due to some circumstances that really had nothing to do with him or the culture, just some personal life circumstances, two of the players transferred out after the first season. Well, Brandt thought about it, and then he decided, no, these guys are right for the team. And he pursued them, and he went after them, and he called them, and he called them, and he called the parents and said, what are we going to do to get you back here? This is the place for you, right? You just, we can make this work. And his persistence and with it brought those guys back onto the team. And so I think there's a lot of times out there where as coaches, where players quit and we convince them to stay and it goes really, really poorly. So it's not something I recommend all the time, right? I've had many situations where coaches try to convince a player to stay and they're just never going to be happy there. But here, Brandt knew that these people were right for the culture. And so after some thought, he went after them. And I think that sometimes that's the case for us. I think if there are certain players that leave your program, you know, if the situation presents it, you know, it depends on the context, you might want to fight for them. And you might even want, your team might want to fight for them. You know, that might be the players come and they have to, you know, advocate and encourage them and try to get them to buy into that. And just be aware there may come a time where it is the right thing to do is to go and to fight for that player to stay and to see what you can do to make that happen.
One thing I would add to that too, JP, is that when you do start to hear rumblings that maybe a player is thinking about leaving or quitting, I've always felt like when they send you the text message, hey, can we meet and talk? You know, I usually know what that means. And it feels like, you know, hope is lost and a decision hasn't been made. And I never got a chance to present my side of the story, you know? And what I mean by that is, again, if we just take an example of a senior, I never got a chance to present like the memories you're going to miss out on, you know, and the reason why we really want you to stay, apart from what you can do with a basketball, you know, your leadership, your example, your character, you know, that makes everybody around you better. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to send a note in the mail, you know, or to reach out to the parents before that final decision is made, just so the player knows this is really how you feel about them and the value that they bring to the program. Because if they're telling themselves a different story and don't get a balanced voice in that, it may become easier for them to sort of step away, if that makes sense. If we circle back, JP, all the way to the first question that you asked at the start of this conversation here about the approach of the transformational coach when it comes to players leaving, I think what I've really wrestled with and had to let go of is that it's a 4-year process. And that I've had to really commit myself to saying, I'm going to be dedicated to this year's team, the players that are here this season, and believing that the transformational impact that we can have maybe doesn't take 4 years, that maybe if they decide to only be with us for 2 years and play another sport or go to another school, that they'll still leave feeling like they're different. They've been changed. They've at least had a good experience, or we've provided, you know, enough opportunity for them to make that decision a little bit difficult, right? Because of what they'd be walking away from. And so for me, when it comes to that mission of wanting them to feel loved, wanting them to feel valued, and wanting them to feel like they make a difference in the world, can I do that for a player that is only with us for 2 years? And is that doing all that I can do for that kid? And I just have to get to a place that accepts that, that maybe I just don't have the same window with every player, but the desire to have that impact shouldn't change. It shouldn't erode just simply because we didn't get the 4 years that I thought that we should.
All right, that's it for today's episode of the Coaching Culture Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, we're grateful for people who take 15 to 30 seconds just to leave us a review. And I know your friends appreciate it when you send them an episode that they find valuable. So don't hesitate to share today's episode.